You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We got all the issues, and we cover down on them. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to the day you love. Hit it. Friday! We are there, man. We are there. It's the weekend. I hope you guys have got a great weekend planned, and congratulations on making it through another week. We're going to take you all the way to go-home time right now on Right Side Radio, and as always, the Boomer is on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
You all revved up?
I'm revved up, ready to go.
All right, let's get her done. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. As always, 3 p.m. today, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, calling in to talk through latest happenings, sort of a roundup, if you will, of the week. We'll get some perspectives on certain things with her, not the least of which is probably we'll talk a little politics, since even as I speak, I'm looking up at the screen, and the special counsel who just unleashed 37 charges against former President Donald Trump is actually giving a speech. We'll be talking about that here in a minute. But yeah, we got Stephanie Smith calling at 3 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. And then there's that whole triple dipper, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Ah, right out the gate. No coincidence is what I'm calling it. No coincidence is number one. So President Trump was just indicted on issues related to classified document possession. Happens to have come the day after it turns out that the FBI did release that document about Joe Biden getting bribes from Ukraine. And now all of a sudden, let's do an indictment on Trump while we're at it. The whole thing just stinks. Now, we are getting news because literally as we were going to the airtime today, I was watching because the update is they unsealed the indictment. We're only hearing from the prosecution side. It is deeper than anyone would have imagined. It's not just, well, he had some documents. They're alleging that he had some pretty serious documents to include maps of military action and that kind of thing. We'll see. We'll unpack it. Number one, triple dipper. I'm calling it no coincidence. Number two, didn't get to it yesterday, so it's scheduled for today. Transmania. Have you gotten tired of Pride Month yet? Just like vomiting rainbows everywhere we look. Well, number two on the triple dipper is Transmania. Did you know that the Human Rights Campaign has declared a national state of emergency for the safety of transgender? Has anybody out there seen anyone getting beat up because they're transgender? I haven't. I haven't seen a single news report. Not a one. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Number two, triple dipper, Transmania. And then number three, Governor Gavin Newsom. That guy is such a piece of work. Governor Gavin Newsom has come out and said, and you can tell he's running for president, and said he's proposing a 28th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It wouldn't repeal the Second Amendment, but it certainly would curtail it. What? So you want one amendment to basically be a counterweight to another amendment in the same document. I'm calling number three, conflict of laws. Yeah, there's a conflict in the laws, and it's Gavin Newsom front and center. We'll talk about it. All right. Let me move over here to my comments, because speaking of Newsom believing that he can have a new amendment to the Constitution proposed and just expect that to go swimmingly, let me jump in with what I did yesterday. So I'm a conservative. So what is that, right? Yesterday, I asked the same question. I spent some time yesterday unpacking some of the tenets of a conservative belief system, things that I believe, adhere to, choose to espouse, that I believe are part of what makes me a conservative. I spent a few minutes yesterday on the idea that as conservatives, everything we do, say, laws that we enact, that they should start from the standpoint of freedom. Is freedom being promoted? I think it's important to remind ourselves of these special conservative positions like this, to break it down in such a way that we can talk about it on the fly, off the cuff, without any notes. My goal is to lay it out there, make it useful for you. Make it something that you might hear me say and go, yeah, that's it. Well, there's always things in life that I think I know that I know, but to ask me why I know it, well, that's a bit different. We can't simply get caught in the trap of saying, I'm a conservative, and then walk away like we won the debate. We have to be able to give an adequate explanation. So yesterday I talked about freedom and why that's not just what we want as a nation, it's who we are as a nation. The notion that government can get too big is a very real concern for conservatives. Ronald Reagan once said, a government that is big enough to give you everything you need is a government that's big enough to take away everything you have. Today, though, I'm going to hit the next piece of why I'm a conservative. Today, I'm hitting on the fact that I believe in what is often referred to as a strict construction of our U.S. Constitution. Some refer to it as the doctrine of judicial constraint, that the Constitution says what it says, and the courts are to be constrained from trying to deviate from the black and white text of the Constitution. So what's the big deal, liberals ask? I mean, they'll argue it's an old document, it's out of date. It was written 225 years ago. Those old dudes back then, they didn't know what we'd be going through in today's world. They couldn't see modern life. They might have gotten it wrong. Liberals love to think that the founders might have been willing to write it differently if they lived today. In essence, they believe the Constitution then should be something that's interpreted for the times you live in. My answer to that is hogwash. Let me take it this way for a minute. Have you ever gotten that thing, that new device, that new toy, that new product, and it came with instructions and, quote, some assembly required? Well, I will never forget the Christmas that Charlene and I gave the kids a real deal foosball table. Oh, yeah. Not some run-of-the-mill, low-level junk table that blows over in a good wind. No siree, Bob. It was a professional grade. Worthy of any commercial game room or arcade. Oh, yeah. And, of course, it required some assembly. So the folks that designed the foosball table, well, they told me how to put it together, right? It works best that way. But what if at 2 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve, I had my own notions? Put the legs on top. Put more of the little men on one side than on the other. Mix the colors of the jerseys so you can't tell which team is the red and which one's the blue. Don't even put the handles on. Just put the plain bars. Well, look, you know what? The manufacturer of the foosball table can't see what I see. They can't know what I know. They don't know the size of the room. They don't know my kids. They can't see my understanding of fair play. They might have even made it years before I put it together. The instructions to build the foosball table, though, they were actually there for a reason. The Constitution of the United States and its duly passed amendments, such as the first 10 in the Bill of Rights, they are there for a reason. Written in a different time, but applicable to where we are. Things like freedom of religion, speech, and the press, the right to bear arms, no requirement that we should ever have to bear the cost of housing troops in our homes, protection from an unlawful search and seizure, life, liberty, property, the right to an impartial trial, the right to your day in court when you've been wronged, prohibition against excessive fines and punishments, and the right of individual states to have a say in the sovereignty and the well-being of those within their own borders. If we tamper with even one of those constitutional rights, if we allow them to be diluted, then the whole thing becomes a house of cards. The only body that can revise the Constitution is the legislative branch. By virtue of publicly debated amendments, which are then sent to the various states to be ratified or voted on by the state legislatures, 3/4 of the states must agree on the amendments, something that has only happened 33 times since the Constitution was drafted. And oh, by the way, it doesn't always work. Only 27 times was that amendment process successful in 2.5 centuries. The amendment process is important. It's sacred. If we allowed the courts to simply say, well, we don't like that provision about, you know, bearing arms or states' rights or free speech, and make the changes from the bench, then those rights, those actual rights, are immediately all in jeopardy. Now, liberals these days want their agenda put forward, but oftentimes it is that good old firewall called the Constitution that keeps this free nation free. And they can't get around it, you know, unless they can pack the court with liberal justices who refuse to be bound by judicial constraint. Justices who believe the Constitution is a living document meant to be interpreted according to the whims and notions of our time. No. By God, no. Not for a second. Our founders knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing as sure as the company that manufactured that foosball table knew what it would take to make it work best and how to put it together. The founding fathers. They knew. And conservatives, we also know. We know that every branch of government must be preserved by the support and the maintenance of conservative caretakers, in this case, conservative judges. Judges who will take the role seriously. Judges who are determined to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to fiercely interpret it as a document that the courts have no right to change on their own and no right to interpret any differently than what it actually says. So yeah, I'm a conservative, like many of you, because I believe that the rights that we have are called inalienable for a reason. They are written in the Constitution. They are sealed by the efforts of generations before us. And I'm a conservative because I believe that the day that we water down that Constitution, the day we make it malleable or permeable or mashable, that's the day we cease to be a nation in which people are free as a matter of right. So I'm a conservative, and I believe in upholding the Constitution strictly and with judicial constraint. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. You know, and it's just classic. Because today, when I get into number three on the Triple Dipper, I'm talking about a knucklehead who could care less about the Constitution and more about just getting what he needs. Gavin Newsom. Let's do a 28th Amendment to put gun control in the Constitution. Shut up. It doesn't work that way. Not at all. It matters. Uphold that Constitution. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. You got to turn your microphone on first, Phil. We are back. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right with a microphone that works when you turn it on. All right. Hey, listen, I did not see the text messages coming in yet. I expected to hear them. Phil, there's an Article 5 convention. There's another way you can amend the Constitution. I know that. It was more than I wanted to fit into a monologue. Truthfully, I'm aware that we could do an Article 5 convention in which 33 of the states have to ratify the potential for an amendment. However, then you have an Article 5 convention, and you better do what we call a limited convention. Otherwise, every single liberal screaming group is going to be there trying to change the First Amendment, change the Second Amendment. And so I am aware. Those of you all that are like, we need an Article 5 convention. Okay, I see it. But you better do what they call a limited purpose Article 5 convention if we ever get there. I believe I supported that measure in the Alabama legislature when it came up. I got a caller on line one, Brian Huntsville. How you doing?
Mighty fine. Happy Friday to everybody.
Yes, sir. You too. What's up?
Well, I sit there listening to monologues, and whether it's the Magna Carta, the Constitution of the United States, or the anthology, the Bible, and especially in Bible study, we study the vernacular of the day. We don't go changing it based on our current standards. So we have to study that vernacular. We have to understand what those words and terms mean at that time.
Absolutely.
It's not flowing. And so at that point, look for the original intent, not what you intend.
That's a great point.
That's all I had to say, sir.
Yeah, man. Good job, Brian. Appreciate that. Yeah, he's right. Original intent of the actual authors, the founders, as opposed to the intent of whoever right now wants something out of it. I mean, if you do that, it means nothing, right? Just you can say, today we feel like not having any, I don't know, gun rights. Really? Yeah, you know, they were living in a different time. They didn't understand that we were going to have guns that shot lots of bullets. Really? Okay. They could never figure that out. Maybe what they were talking about was why you would have them, not what they are. But even still, you can't just go ahead and change the law. Well, you know, they didn't understand the internet. You know, it's possible that they would not have ever put a First Amendment freedom of speech in there if they'd known what Twitter was. Really? You think that's the way it works? That just because we live in a different time where you communicate differently, that you should not be allowed to communicate, period, if someone says no. This whole thing about the 10th Amendment, we think that the court got it wrong when it said that abortion could be decided at the state level. Well, the 10th Amendment says states have a right unless federal law preempts. And guess what? It doesn't preempt anymore on abortion. So just get over yourself. It's a constitution. Praise God we've got it. I mean, I look at that thing and what a hallowed document. What a special document. And that Bill of Rights that came right afterwards when they put the Constitution in place. My word. Those guys were so ahead of their time. They weren't behind our times. They were ahead of their time. Somebody write that down. Did you hear me say that? That was awesome. Anyway, I'm just saying that truthfully, the founding fathers, they had it going on. There's that. Hey, if you want to text in or call in, the number 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Now, during the next break, when we come back, I'm going to be jumping right in, feet first, into number one of the Triple Dipper, the Trump indictment. I'm calling it No Coincidence is the name of the dipper. What are your thoughts on it? I want to know. Do you think that this is basically a ploy? Do you think that there's really a there? Is this where they finally get Trump? Or is this going to be something that we're going to see, you know, fizzle and go by the wayside? I've already got questions. I think the timing is suspect. I think it's certainly suspect that President Biden himself is currently under investigation for the exact same thing, and yet his DOJ just indicted the guy he's running against for president. I mean, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. It just does. Don't try and tell me it doesn't. Now, if you don't like Trump, I get it. But look at the totality of the circumstances. What if it was anybody else? What if it was Mike Pence, the guy who is now running against Trump, the guy who opposed Trump on the January 6th stuff? What if it was Mike Pence that was indicted? I would hope that the left would go, wow, that's not right. But because it's Trump, you know, everything goes when it's Trump. It's Trump! That whole Trump derangement syndrome is just kicking into overdrive right now on CNN. It's up there on the screen, on the wall, about ready to throw something at it. Trump showed his classified documents to others. Well, okay. So we'll unpack what it means. We'll take a look at what was just said literally while I was talking a moment ago. The special counsel who brought the indictment gave probably one of the shortest speeches in political history. It looked like he spoke for about a minute and a half and then hit the highway without taking questions. But we'll break it down and see what we got. In the meantime, I want to know what y'all think. Literally, look, what do y'all think? Is this political? Is this legal? Is it both? Does this take down Trump? Does it help Trump? Oh, there's a question. Does it help him? I think you're going to find that the answers to that are all over the board. But we'll see. All right, and then don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, will be with us as always. And folks, I'm just telling you, this show may wind up taking on a life of its own. Y'all get engaged, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.